those? Because I do, even my group, okay, so I am a mom like you. It's mom to me, M-U-M. This is mom to mom. You call it mom to mom, and to me it's mom to mom. Okay, so I text and it comes through to the group, mom to mom. But this is my group, and they're incredible, and I love them. And I am here just like you, and I have to say, Annie was one of the very first people that I met when we came here, and we left everything we knew. And she was so welcoming, like unbelievably welcoming, just like this. And she invited me to come here, and I will forever be grateful, because let me tell you, in London we had some great stuff, but I never found anything like this. I don't know, we used to have a few little things with church, but I don't know if there was anything like this. And so I am 100% grateful for the team that put time in and sacrifice evenings to plan and prepare and sit down and plan the schedule for the year. I thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart, because last week, I mean, I don't know about you, but I've been challenged. My notebook is like, what? I need to do, okay, I'll do that, and I'm writing everything down. And last week, I went to Legay's, is it Legay? Did I say that right? I went to Legay's workshop, and all week in my mind, I've been like, okay, you're a lion, you're an otter. Okay, I know what you are. I'm trying to figure out my kids. And I'm like, it's okay, I can work with you. We've got all the books. I text my husband all the books. We need this book. We need this book. And he's like, where are you? I'm like, just order the books for me, please. I'll explain later. But like Annie said, we moved from London, okay? We moved almost 2 years ago now, October. We arrived at Atlanta Airport with 15 suitcases, mostly full of my husband's trainer, you call them sneakers, mostly full of my husband's sneakers, some clothes and a few toys for the kids. And we arrived kind of like bewildered, but like, okay, here we go. We've got our 15 suitcases and off we go. But I have to tell you this story because we speak the same language, yes, but we don't. Because, like I've already said, I say mum, and my kids will call me mummy. They will not call me mom. And we will call these trainers, not sneakers. And so we speak the same language, but we don't. So we arrive, and we didn't have anywhere to live at the time. We were like kind of in transition. We were trying to find somewhere to rent. And so we had to go and stay at a hotel. Now, my youngest baby at the time would have been River. This is my wild child. He was one. So I needed a place for him to sleep. So when we get to the check-in desk, I go over and I say, hey, would you mind bringing what I thought was the right thing? Would you mind bringing a travel cot to my room? The guy kind of looks at me and he's like, okay. So we go up to the room. A few moments later, just reminded me, knock at the door. I open the door. This guy is stood there with a luggage trolley. So now I'm confused. I look at him like, no, that is not what I needed. That's not what I needed. So this confusion, that's not actually what I needed. I need a cot. A cot? I need a cot, you know. And so he looks at me like, okay, all right, takes away the trolley. A few moments later, comes back, knock on the door. The guy is stood there with a full-size single bed. And I'm like, no, we are not understanding each other. I'm sorry, but I'm like, okay, let's break this down. I need a cage-like thing with a soft middle to put my baby into sleep. The penny drops, and he's like, you need a pack and play. I'm like, no, there's no play going on here. We got jet lag. I need sleep. But we speak the same language, but we don't. So I say all that to say to you this morning, I pray that you will understand what I'm saying. And we're speaking the same language. But you have full permission that if there is a word or something I say that you cannot understand, no one on your table can interpret for you, you have permission to be like, Joe, we don't have a clue what you're talking about. Okay? Do we agree? Will we do that? Okay, let's do that. But But first I'm going to pray because it's a good place to start. I said to Meredith, it's a good place to start. Father God, I thank you that today you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, want to speak to us. That God, your word says that you are close to us, that you incline your ear to hear us. And so God, this morning, would you move in us, speak to us and through us. God, I pray that you would be my words, that God, it wouldn't just be my thoughts and my opinions, but God, this would be truth straight from your word. Lord, we would go out of here changed and transformed because of you and all you do. And everyone said, amen. I say amen. My children now go, say amen, mummy. It's amen. But today, we're going to be speaking, well, it's a team effort, okay? It's a team effort. We're going to be talking on this thought of renewing our mind. And I have to tell you that I was only saying to Meredith earlier, it's funny how God asks you to speak on things that he's actually doing in you and through you. So when I'm talking, I want you to know that this is something I am walking right now. So I'm walking it from a place of like, I know this because God is doing it in me. And it's something that I am wrestling with every single day. So we're going to talk about this. And I'm going to look at a few different scriptures. But the first one is going to be in Romans 12. Now, you may have never heard it before. You may know the passage. It's okay. Either way, if it's like ingrained in your brain and you know it off by heart, if you've never heard it before, it's all okay. We're going to go journey it and kind of break it down together, all right? But it talks about, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of our mind that we may be able to test and approve. Some versions say that we may be able to discern what God's will is, what God's way is for us. Now, I only have to look at my algorithm, right? My Instagram algorithm to see the world's big banquet of options of how to renew my mind. A bit of mindfulness meditation over here and a bit of sound baths and dark rooms and CBT therapy and all the things, yoga. Go to this yoga retreat for $5,000 per person per night and you will come away with a renewed mind. And it's all out there. And I'm not saying that stuff's bad, but what the word says is we do not conform and copy and go along with those patterns of this world in order to be transformed. But actually it comes from renewing our mind. Now I'm a really practical person, so if you tell me, Joe, you're going to be transformed by renewing your mind, I'd be like, great, what does that look like? I need to know how I am going to do that. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to try and pick apart, okay, yes, we know we need to be transformed and we don't want to be, we're in this world, but we're not, we want to be different. The Bible's talking about if we are in Jesus, if Jesus is in us, then we are set apart and we are to live differently and look differently than what the world does. And so although none of those are bad things, they are not going to offer us the transformation that the truth does, that the word does. And so that's what it's saying. The Message version says it like this. It says, so it's the same passage, but it says, fix your attention on God and be changed from the inside out. So he's saying, if you want to be transformed, then you have to fix your attention on God and allow him to transform you from the inside out. Now, how do we do that? Well, as believers, like I said, if you have accepted and asked Jesus to come and live in your heart, then the Bible tells us that we have divine power. We have the divine power of Jesus living within us. Just stop for a minute and think about that. If you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you've invited him to come and live in your heart, then you have the Holy Spirit, the divine power at work within you. So this is not like I'm trying to muster up all these good thoughts and be a great person and do my affirmations and do my yoga and get my mindfulness meditation alone, because I have God, I have the Holy Spirit within me. You know, my kids, they love, I think it's from the devil, to be honest, but they love slime. Is anybody else in agreement with me? They love slime, and they will pull it out at any given moment. I try and hide it, like it's hidden, tucked right away. They love the slime. And they'll pull out all the stuff, you know, they'll have all the ingredients. But did you know that you can have all the ingredients. You can have the baking soda and the glue and the glitter and whatever else you want to add to it. But until you put the activator into it, the slime does not become the substance that it's meant to be. It doesn't become what it's intended to be. And it's the same with us. We have all this stuff, but until we access and activate the Holy Spirit within us, then we will never be transformed in the way that God intended us to be. We will never be fully renewed and transformed the way that he intended. So it's the Holy Spirit within us that changes us. And I'm sure you've all seen it, but I wonder if have we got the video? You've all seen this video of this woman, I am sure. Let's see, will it play? Or is she just gonna give us, I can act it out for you if you'd like. Oh no, hello, don't know who you are. It's okay, don't worry. Everyone has seen the video, Holy Spirit activate. You knew it before. This is the lady, that's where it came from. She is the initial Holy Spirit activate lady. Holy Spirit activate. Okay, listen, we don't need to make a song and dance out of it, but how much do we overcomplicate things, right? You might have been listening to that like, okay, but now I've got to invite the Holy Spirit and like, how do I do that? And we see so much, and we overcomplicate things, people. We think like, okay, I've got to make my room aesthetically pleasing and get my comfiest chair, get the music right, get the lights right, put my Bible out, put my devotional out. I'll just put that there just in case. Maybe we should light a candle. Let's light a candle. We don't need to do all of that. You know, in the Bible, when it talks about Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, it says she sat at the feet of Jesus. Doesn't say she went and put the harp on and she made sure that Jesus just hold up a sec, that the atmosphere's not right here. Martha was clunking around in the kitchen, banging away at things, and yet she could still sit at the feet of Jesus and hear from him. We overcomplicate things. Your kids can be having a meltdown in the car. This is a word for me right now. Your kids can be having a meltdown in the car. There can be so much noise and racket going on, and God can still speak to you. I promise he will and he can. All he says is, will you come and sit at the feet of me? Will you sit at the feet of Jesus and allow yourself to be transformed by me and my word? That's all he asks. We overcomplicate, but it can be as simple as this. You start your day, it is chaos in your car, okay? There's food flying everywhere. There's cereal crushed into the carpet. You don't know what's going on. You've got sick of breaking up the fight. You're just going to let them now go for it and see what happens. Like Elizabeth said, natural consequences, okay? I'm with her there. But we go in with those things, and in that moment, all it needs to be is Holy Spirit. God, by your divine power at work in me, would you activate right now? Would you bring the peace that you talk about? Would you bring the calm that you talk about? Help me to respond in the right way. He can do it, and he will, and we overcomplicate it, but it's as simple as that. We have the divine power to discern through the Holy Spirit. He gives us divine power to discern in this world what is the truth and what is a lie. There are counterfeits out there everywhere. There are things being offered to you here, there, and everywhere. But the Holy Spirit in you is what is going to give you the divine power to discern, is this truth or is this a counterfeit? Is this what I need to trust, or is this what I need to let go of? So that's what the word says. And we're going to skip, okay? We're going to keep moving. But the first thing is that the Holy Spirit within us, it gives us a divine power to discern the truth and the lies of this world. Now, Paul's still writing here, okay? We're going to skip to 2 Corinthians. But Paul is still talking. Oh, look at me. I'm here. I'm old school, people. So my husband was like, do you want an iPad? I'm like, no, I'll delete the message before I've even got up there. You're joking. I've got my paper and my pens. But we're going in 2 Corinthians 10. So Paul is still writing, okay? So he's been writing. He's the one that said the other stuff. Don't be conformed by the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He's now, we're a bit further on. And he starts again, almost with the same. He's reminding us of our reality, okay? You're in this world. That's our reality. But we're not of this world, okay? We're in it, but we're actually called to be different. We don't wage war in the same way that the world wages war. We don't fight in the same way, but we have these mighty weapons. We have divine power. One version says you have the powerful God tools. I love that. You have powerful God tools in your world. I'm going to read this, but it says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power. Everyone say divine power. They have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. So anything that is not in line with this word, we can demolish, and we take captive every thought. We make it obedient to Christ. We make it obedient to Christ. Do you know, recently we moved house, and when we went in there, we had like a two-week window where we didn't have to live in the house. So we were saying, okay, if there's anything that needs to be done, let's do it now while we're not here. And my husband saw this, we had this big brick fireplace, which we were like, danger. We have a crawling baby, almost. And I'm like, okay, let's get that out, okay? So we have this big brick fireplace. My husband is, I don't know whether this is an English phrase, bargain hunter? It's an English phrase, bargain hunter. You've just learned a new phrase, okay? If you want something cheap, can you hear? Bargain, yeah. How do you say it? Bargain hunter. Bargain hunter. Okay. Well, my bargain hunter. No, that's really northern, that is. But bargain hunter. Anyway, my husband is a bargain hunter. And he wanted to do, he was like, I'm not going to pay for someone to do it. I'm going to take this fireplace down myself. So you can see it here. Okay, brick fireplace. So my husband, with all the greatest intention, has this feeble effort. And he takes to our house and he starts knocking, chipping away. He's knocking it down. He's going for it. And at the end of the day, he sends me a picture, which is like, oh, so sad. But there was this, okay? He sends me this picture. He has been at it all day with his little hammer, all day. And he was exhausted. So, you know, I just tried to sow a seed. Hey, babe. Do you reckon you could get any help, you know? Reckon you want, no. Men, pride. Not all men, it could be women as well. But there was a bit of pride maybe there, okay? So he said, no. Anyway, he's so exhausted. The next day someone says, hey, is there anything I can help you with on your house? This guy's like 6 foot something, so my husband's like, yeah, maybe. I might have something for you. So he asks him. He turns up, our 6 foot something friend, with this sledgehammer, and let me tell you, he takes to that wall, and within, I mean, still hours, but nothing in comparison, we have this situation. He demolished what was there. And I just thought, what a picture, I'm going to move these because I'll probably trip over. What a picture of us. Like, we have these strongholds going on in our mind, and we're just chipping away with our meditation and our affirmations. No, I'm a kind person. I am a kind person. I am a good person. Someone cuts you up and I'm not so kind anymore. And it all goes out the window. And I'm chipping away and I'm not getting very far. But when I bring in the Holy Spirit and I ask for the divine power at work in me to renew me, I have the power to demolish the strongholds. And I just want to show you something. I probably like time. I don't know where we're at, but we're going to do it anyway. Don't worry about my rolling whiteboard. I feel like Carol Vorderman. You probably don't know her as well. She was on a program in England. But there we go. Anyway, we have these things, okay? So the word says that we have the power, the divine power, to demolish strongholds. But how? Again, how? How are we going to do that? With the mighty weapons that God gives us. The first one, he gives us his word. He gives us his word. It's described as the sword of the Spirit. This is his word, and it is powerful. In Hebrews 4, it says it's alive, it's active, it has the power to expose our innermost thoughts and feelings. That might sound scary, but actually that's what we want. Because let me tell you, the devil would love to keep you feeling some of the things that you feel, thinking some of the things you feel, because he's got this stronghold, but we have the power to demolish it. It says that it's the truth. John 17:17 says, the word of God is the truth. So if we want to be able to discern what is truth and what is not, then we've got to start with the word. What does the word actually say? Because whatever's in here is the truth. And then when we hear something opposite, we can say, well, hang on, That doesn't line up with the word of God. So therefore, I can stand on this and I can demolish the stronghold that is there. Prayer. God gave us prayer, and thank the Lord he did. We don't have to jazz it up and thee, thou, and all the right things and say, just talk, just chat, honestly. God wants to hear your voice. His word says that we can boldly approach the throne of grace. Boldly means confident. My kids come confidently to me when they want a snack, let me tell you that. Mom, they're not messing around. They come confident because they know this is Mom, okay? If they've done something wrong, they might come a little bit more, but they can still come. And it says that we're approaching the throne of grace, not the throne of shame, not the throne of punishment, not the throne of anger, the throne of grace. For what? So that we can get new mercies. This is what the word says. It says, you will receive new mercies and grace for the help that you need. So prayer is our underestimated, but so significant. It's our tool, it's our weapon, and it's going to help you demolish the strongholds. He gives us the shield of faith. The word says, take up your shield of faith. Ephesians 6, I think it is. It says, take up the shield of faith that every fiery arrow that the devil tries to throw at you, you can extinguish with the word of God. You can put it out. So when a lie comes your way, you pick up the word of God and you say, no, that's not in alignment with the word of God. So no, you have no power here. You have no authority here. And he gave you people. God gave Adam, Eve for a reason. We were never meant to do things in our own strength. Never. Look at Dan, my husband. You're just not meant to do it in your own strength. He gave us community. And part of that is so that we can stand together when your faith is lacking and you're wondering, is this real? Is this true? Then together you can say, no, actually, let's go to the word. Let's go to our mighty weapon and let's look at what it says. Together, you're not alone in this. You know, a stronghold is something that is, I'm going to do that. That's really bad, but hey-ho. A stronghold is something that is created to protect a place or something. So strongholds were created to protect like a town or something from being attacked. And I've been thinking, you know, sometimes we have these strongholds like shame. And it's formed this protection around these thoughts that what if they really knew? Sorry, that's awful handwriting. What if they really knew? Shame is the stronghold that's protecting those thoughts of like, what if they really knew how much you lose your temper? What if they really knew that your kids haven't been bathed in about a week? What if they really knew how messy your home was? What if they really knew how I spoke or how I thought or what I did? Shame is the stronghold. And you know, the Bible says there is no shame in Christ. That he came and died for us while we were still sinners. So he knows what we did. He knows what we're going to do. He knows the thoughts we think. He knows the stupid things we'll say. He already knows it. But we have the power to demolish the stronghold. Another one that I just feel is so, something that just takes us as women out is insecurity. Protecting this stronghold, protecting these thoughts of like, whoa, I'm not good at anything. Oh, I say stupid things all the time. They probably don't even want me at this table. No one spoke to me. I just shouldn't be at this table right now. It's a stronghold protecting lies. And the devil tells us that we have, the devil, he doesn't tell us this. God tells us, the word tells us that we have the power, the divine power to demolish the stronghold with the word of God through prayer, through the Holy Spirit, and take captive the thoughts. So the second thing, we've got the divine power to discern, divine power to demolish, and then, so important that we do this. We have the divine power to direct and determine. Determine meaning we will firmly decide. I'm going to firmly decide to stand upon this truth. How are we going to renew our mind? We're going to discern the lies. We're going to discern what's truth with the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to demolish the strongholds that are there through his mighty weapons, the word, prayer, people, the shield of faith. And we are going to take captive, the Bible says. It says, take captive every thought. So once you've demolished the stronghold, we've got in the stronghold, okay? We are now going to take that thought captive and we're going to bring it into obedience with the word of God. Hey, you're not true. I'm going to bring you into the obedience of Christ. You don't belong here. You have no power here. And I have the divine power and authority to bring you into obedience with the word of Christ. That's what it says. How do we do that? I'm going to tell you. Flick my page. We're going to impart truth. We're going to change the way we think. We're going to take that lie and we're going to say, does this line up with the word of God? God is not a God of shame. He's not. He wouldn't send his son to die for us while we were still sinners if he wanted to lavish shame on us. The word tells us that he lavishes his unconditional love upon us, that his mercies are new every day, and that we can go to the throne of grace with grace and receive new mercies and grace for all that we need. It says that there's no fear in his perfect love. There's no condemnation in him for those who are in Christ. So if you're in Christ, if Christ is in you, then there is no shame and there is no condemnation, even if you've done bad stuff. We've all thought dumb things. I do not like my children sometimes. And yes, they're a gift from God, but some days I have to remind myself that they're a gift from God and not one that I want to return if I had a gift receipt. Yes, we all have those things going on in our head, and we're in this world where if we keep faking it and acting like we've all got it together and putting all our perfect things out there, we're going to get nowhere. We have to go, okay, hang on. I've got a stronghold here, and it's really firm. It feels firm. It's taking me out. It's shame. These are the thoughts that are in there. But I've read the word, and it says that I have the divine power to demolish that stronghold and to bring those words into obedience. So can you help me? Because I don't know how to do it right now. And I promise you, there will be someone at your table that will go, yeah, I'll help. I mean, I don't know whether I know what I'm doing, but let's start. Let's start with the mighty weapon that's been given to us. Let's open the word and see what happens. But I just want to tell you some truths, specifically for this, for shame, for insecurity and discontentment. I feel from the beginning of time, women have fallen for these things. That Eve, you don't have enough, you're not enough. Eat the apple. The discontent, oh yeah, actually, all this I have, but I still need more. And then the shame of what have you done? The lies that have been spoken over us as women for so long. And it is time for us to take the power that we have been given through God, not in our power, not just great affirmations of like, you can do it and you've got the strength today. Because I don't know about you, but mine's gone by 8:01. I mean, even earlier than that sometimes, but it's gone. And so if I'm doing it in my strength, I'm really not getting far. But when I stand on the word of God and I think, do you know what? No, I'm not enough. I'm not enough for my kids right now because I don't know how to deal with you all. I don't. I had four. My mom had six. How did she cope? I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to deal with your emotions. I don't know how to deal with this. I'm not enough. But Christ in me is. And so I'm going to stand on that. I'm not just going to shout out good affirmations here and there, but I'm going to stand on the word of God that no, I am not enough. And right now, I need you, and I will fall at the feet of Jesus and say, guess what? I'm here again. It's me. I don't have enough. I am not enough. And he's going to say, no, you're not, but I am. And I am in you, and I will strengthen you and uphold you. So I'm going to whiz through some truths really quickly before we go. But they're over shame, discontentment, insecurity, but they can be for anything. This is the word of God. It's truth. It's going to help you and it's going to direct you. So if you want, you can write it down. Just write down the top. Go read it later. But I'm just going to go through them. But if you're struggling with these things, that shame stronghold has got you and those thoughts are in there and they're feeding you lies and trapping you that if people really knew the real me, I wouldn't be welcome here. That's a lie. Romans 5 verse 8 says, and I've already said it, whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Whilst we were still sinners, he knew what we were going to do. He knew the stupid decisions we'll make. even if we've known the word. He knows the mistakes we're going to make. And still, he died for us. Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. We have been set free. We have been set free, so this has no hold over us anymore. We've been set free. Lamentations 3, verse 22, it says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. So even if yesterday was rubbish, guess what? His mercies are new today. And we can go again today. And even if this moment right here is really bad, the next moment can be new because of God's grace and his redeeming love. If you're having thoughts of, I'm no good, I'm not enough, let me tell you, we've been there. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 says, my grace is sufficient for you. And thank God for this. For my power, God's power, his divine power that, remember, is in us, is made perfect in our weakness. So we can actually go, hey, I'm really weak in this area. And know that when we admit it and we come humbly to the throne, God says, yeah, but I'm made perfect in your weakness. My power is made perfect in your weakness. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 says this, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but I have given you a spirit of power, of love, and of sound mind. Philippians 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me, who gives me strength. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8 says, and God is able. When you're feeling discontent, when you're feeling like I don't have enough, God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things and at all times, money in the bank, no money in the bank. Kids in a great school, kids not in a great school. House looking perfect, house not looking perfect. In all times, at all times, God can give you everything you need and you can abound in every good work. Genesis 1 verse 26 says, reminds us that we were made in his image, in the likeness of God, to reflect him here on earth. So you are enough. He's made you. I'm going to do one more. Hebrews 13, verse 5, it says, be content with what you have. Is that not a word? Be content with what you have, because God is always with you, and he will never, ever leave you. If we want to be truly transformed, we have to renew our mind. And the way that we do that is we access the divine power. We access the divine power of the Holy Spirit that is going to help us discern truth and lies. We use his divine power to demolish the strongholds that have got us. And we use his divine power to then redirect and determine those thoughts and bring them into alignment with God and say, you will be obedient to Christ. That is how we will renew our mind. Let me pray for you before we go. Father God, I thank you that your word is alive, it is active, and it is sharper than a double-edged sword. God, I thank you that it exposes our innermost thoughts and where the devil just has us. God, I thank you that you never intended for us to be bound, but you sent your son to die for us that we might live free. God, I thank you that in you there is no condemnation. In you there is no fear. In you there is perfect love. And God, there is forgiveness and redemption and restoration. God, I pray that as women, we would go forth from here knowing that there is divine power accessible to us, in us, God, to do what you have called us to do, to be women who stand in the truth, to discern the lies and to demolish the strongholds and to bring everything that is not in accordance to your word into alignment with it. Father, we declare your truth today. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we can come boldly to your throne of grace. We thank you that you made perfect in our weakness. And we pray that you would just help us now as we go and discuss and move forward. Do something in us, God, that's going to truly transform us. In your name I ask. Amen.